Oh, hello. One of Oregon's most famous sons is writer Ken Kesey, the author of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Sometimes a Great Notion. He lives just south of Eugene. Most days, Kesey can be found working his farm in the small community of Pleasant Hill. He likes to be called a farmer and writer these days. Home for the Kesey family is an old converted barn. It's there on the second floor that the author works, sometimes late into the night, on a new novel about Alaska. Recently, he took some time off and, along with his daughter, Sunshine, showed us some of his special Oregon places. As he drove with his favorite music playing, he spoke of his concern for the environment.
Oregon still has very clean air, and the Willamette River 15 years ago was getting really bad, and we passed a Clean Water Act and really got in there and cleaned up that river. And all these industries, they always say, no, we can't do it, we'll go broke, but when it comes right down to it, they do it, and they get by, and it stops turning out crap in the water. Keeping the water clean in this state is what keeps this state beautiful and healthy. They put this dam up for flood control, essentially, but they didn't put any fish ladders. So the salmon run, which is travel all over the world and come back into the Columbia and then come all the way up here, this is the end of the line for them. That's what these guys are across the way doing. They're catching them.
It's probably about 17, 18 pounds. It'll probably be 24, 25 by the time I get home. They grow, you know.
They bring in the big fish up here and breed them there in the breeding houses. Finally, the fish at about 8 inches, 12 inches long, they'll come in here with trucks, load up these trucks full of water, and release them all over the streams, all over Oregon. And good fishermen follow around in the night so they can find out where those trucks are going to unload the fish. The osprey is really the seahawk. They were disappearing about 18 years ago. We thought we were going to lose them. Stop the DDT, the eggs begin to firm up, and now the osprey are coming back. When they were originally logging this area, they needed to keep the wood of the bridge covered, otherwise the beating of the log work and the rain rotted it out. So this was just a way to keep the rain off the bridge.
There is a road, no simple highway.
Spencer and Skinner, Eugene Skinner and old man Spencer, drew a straight line from house to house, and that's the main street of Eugene. Runs right down through the two of them. You can see why it's called the town of trees. As many trees as we've cut down, there's been a lot of them come back. Rhododendron is a wild, natural plant here in Oregon. The overcast sky brings out the colors. It's almost as though the light itself is coming from the flowers. Water coming in from its most pure source, right out of the earth, and disappearing right into the earth. This stuff percolated down through these lava rocks is probably as pure water, purer than it would be falling from the air. Trying to keep the state pure, the water pure, the trees standing, and the loggers healthy. It's possible if we just don't sell out. I want my kids to have it better than I had it. You know, we were Okies. And we're down to the point where we're saying now, I'd like for our kids to have it at least as good as we had it. And it's sliding fast.
We'll be back from Portland after a message.
This is the original bus, which the Smithsonian Institute would like to have.
And you see, it's become very organic. Where the hole is in the roof, there's quite a lot of grass growing back there.
This is today's replica.
Time to roll, the weather's saying go!
Some of the original pranksters were aboard for the reunion voyage. Ken Babbs, Mike Hagen, and Roy Seabird, along with a whole new generation of pranksters, including Kesey's son, Zane. Kesey's nephew, Kit, was at the wheel. They set off 3 weeks ago on their bizarre journey, stopping first to campaign for Wavy Gravy, another 60s legend who was running for Berkeley City Council. He lost. They happened upon a sorority pledge class at Stanford. As always, the pranksters made quite an impression.
Wow.
Okay, would you like a little brief tour here? Mm-hmm. It starts back here in the primordial ooze, when everything is dark and filmy and fishes are...
Although pranksters were never ones to sermonize, on this trip, Kesey was offering up some 60s themes he feels have been salted away for too long.
I'll lead you into the laid-back Egyptian. This word here is the word for enlightenment.
So you don't think the revolution is dead, huh?
Oh, Lord, no. No, the revolution started when the first caveman handed a guy a bone to chew on instead of hitting him in the head. The first act of mercy and trust. And all the other cavemen said, what are you handing the bone for? And years later, you know why you hand him the bone. Because you want him as a friend, and you don't want him starving. And you don't want homeless people.
Where Kesey's bus will stop, nobody knows. One day at the San Jose Egyptian Museum. The next in Berkeley to read from his new children's book. The day after at a San Francisco book fair.
The biggest reaction that we get is not from fans. It's from 12-year-olds on skateboards. Everybody keeps asking deep questions about it. There's nothing deep to it. You know, it's like a kite or fireworks or a sunset or a tree in the fall. It goes by, it goes boom, and everybody sees it and their face goes boom, and they're on the bus and you smile and they smile and that's it.
Put your headsets on, you're about to sing.
Outside, Kesey said it's time for pacifists to get involved in what he sees as a war for the environment.
Anybody know what it is? Victory. It's not peace, hell with peace. It's time for victory. We've been peaceful for 20 years.
And I enjoy being a famous writer. The trouble is, every so often I have to write something.
He has not written a full novel since 1964. He is working on an epic novel about Alaska. His will not be a novel about feelings and relationships.
It's dull to me. Give me some animals and some machines and stuff that is a little unpredictable. Let's get out of this soap opera consciousness. I want to get back into outer space and in the woods and back where Poe is. You know, when you're reading Edgar Allan Poe or Huckleberry Finn, they're out into the world having an adventure.
Does life have a theme? My own life have a theme, yep.
Kesey answered with lyrics by the Grateful Dead.
Sometimes the light's all shining on me. Other times I can barely see. Lately it occurs to me what a long, strange trip it's been.
And with that, the spirit of the 60s was gone again, last seen vanishing into the hills of Oregon. This is the original bus, which the Smithsonian Institute would like to have.
And you see, it's become very organic. Where the hole is in the roof, there's quite a lot of grass growing back there.
This is today's replica.
Time to roll. The weather's saying go.
Some of the original pranksters were aboard for the reunion voyage. Ken Babbs, Mike Hagen, and Roy Seabird, along with a whole new generation of pranksters, including Kesey's son, Zane. Kesey's nephew, Kit, was at the wheel. They set off 3 weeks ago on their bizarre journey, stopping first to campaign for Wavy Gravy, another 60s legend who was running for Berkeley City Council. He lost.
Gonna vote for Wavy Gravy.
Happened upon a sorority pledge class at Stanford. As always, the pranksters made quite an impression.
Wow.
Okay, would you like a little brief tour here? It starts back here in the primordial ooze when everything is dark and filmy and fishes are...
Although pranksters were never ones to sermonize, on this trip, Kesey was offering up some 60s themes he feels have been salted away for too long.
Lead you into the laid-back Egyptian. This word here is the word for enlightenment.
So you don't think the revolution is dead, huh?
Oh, Lord, no. No, the revolution started when the first caveman handed a guy a bone to chew on instead of hitting him in the head. The first act of mercy and trust. And all the other cavemen said, what are you handing the bone for? And years later, you know why you hand him the bone, because you want him as a friend, and you don't want him starving, and you don't want homeless people.
Where Kesey's bus will stop, nobody knows. One day at the San Jose Egyptian Museum, the next in Berkeley to read from his new children's book.
And I don't mean lunch, time, snack, time, little, I'm hungry.
The day after, at a San Francisco book fair.
The biggest reaction that we get is not from fans. It's from 12-year-olds on skateboards. Everybody keeps asking deep questions about it. There's nothing deep to it. You know, it's like a kite or fireworks or a sunset or a tree in the fall. It goes by, it goes boom, and everybody sees it and their face goes boom, and they're on the bus and you smile and they smile and that's it.
Put your headsets on, you're about to sing.
Outside, Kesey said it's time for pacifists to get involved in what he sees as a war for the environment.
Does anybody know what it is? Victory. It's not peace, hell with peace. It's time for victory. We've been peaceful for 20 years.
And I enjoy being a famous writer. The trouble is, every so often I have to write something.
He has not written a full novel since 1964. He is working on an epic novel about Alaska. His will not be a novel about feelings and relationships.
It's dull to me. Give me some animals and some machines and stuff that is a little unpredictable. Let's get out of this soap opera consciousness. I want to get back into outer space and in the woods and back where Poe is. You know, when you're reading Edgar Allan Poe or Huckleberry Finn, they're out into the world having an adventure.
Does life have a theme? My own life have a theme, yeah?
Kesey answered with lyrics by the Grateful Dead.
Sometimes the light's all shining on me. Other times I can barely see. Lately it occurs to me what a long, strange trip it's been.
And with that, the spirit of the 60s was gone again, last seen vanishing into the hills of Oregon.